The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter, beginning with the first verse. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Through the written word and the spoken word, may we know your living word, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Jesus, as always, is turning our world on its head. And the Beatitudes may be where this is most clearly evident in our scriptures. Take everything you think you know and throw it in the trash, because God's ways are not our ways. And the more and more I read the news, the more I think, thank God for that, right? Thank God that God's ways are not our ways. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who are persecuted. These are not typically the ones we see as a society as blessed. Who do you consider to be blessed? Certainly nobody on this list. Some of us know this text very well. We call this Sermon on the Mount from Jesus the Beatitudes, and some of us could recite it almost by heart. But when we sit down and we break it down line by line, it's shocking, because this is not the way of the world. And that's why throughout this season of Lent, we will, on Sundays and Wednesdays, be taking apart the Beatitudes line by line and preaching and speaking to each line of the Beatitudes. But what stood out to me in reading this text this week in preparation for my sermon as a whole is the fact that the Beatitudes are written in the present tense. And buckle up, everybody, because this week's sermon is a grammar and syntax nerd out, but bear with me, because I promise I have a point here. The sermon that Jesus gives is in the present tense. Someday the poor will be blessed. In a little while, the meek will be blessed. No. Jesus does not say you will be blessed someday, at some point, later on, down the line. Jesus says, blessed are. It's a now thing. It's a present thing. So what gives? Because blessed are the meek. Why are they so meek? If they're blessed, shouldn't they be strengthened, empowered by this blessing? Blessed are those who mourn. Why do they still yet mourn? Cheer up, buttercup. You've got the blessing. Isn't that good? Blessed are those who hunger. Aren't they filled? Why aren't they fulfilled by this blessing? Perhaps we need to take God at God's word when he says, my ways are not your ways. Blessing is something different than how we've understood it. Because the sermon is not blessed will be, it's blessed are. So what do we do with this? Because it's just not adding up if we're using the world's parameters. You know, it's not an uncommon thing to see on social media people posting something with the hashtag blessed on it, right? I got this new sweet car, hashtag blessed. I got into the college I was hoping for, hashtag blessed. I got that big promotion I was waiting on, hashtag blessed. The Minnesota Golden Gopher basketball team is 15-15. We're not last in the Big Ten. Hashtag blessed. When was the last time that happened? It's hard not to feel this way when things in your life are going right. But what happens when things in your life are not going the way you'd hoped? What happens when you lose your job and the bills start stacking up? What happens when there's an unexpected medical diagnosis and your life is forever turned upside down? What happens when you lose someone you love? What happens when your budget gets cut, your benefits get cut, and the rug is pulled out from under you? What happens to your hashtag blessings? Are you now hashtag cursed? See, this is where Jesus steps in and says, no, you've got it all wrong. Blessed are you who are poor, you who mourn, you who are meek, you who are hungry, you who are merciful and pure in heart. Blessed are you, the peacemaker, you who are persecuted. God's ways are not our ways. How we've thought about and understood what blessings mean and what being blessed means, it's entirely wrong and it's completely upside down. The Beatitudes highlight just how wrong we've ordered and categorized our world, which is one thing, but now what do we do with this knowledge? Well, I think Jesus' sermon is just a key for us to unlock a new way of being and living and serving in this world. Now that we see what the coming kingdom of God will be like, how can we live into this new upside-down chapter of the world? And how can we do our best to reach out and offer help and support to the poor, the meek, the hungry, the blessed? Well, I think our text from Deuteronomy will help us here this morning. And a little background on this text, our Old Testament text from Deuteronomy. In this passage, Moses is setting down a liturgy of thankfulness, a liturgy of gratitude. At this point in our story, the Israelites had been wandering the desert with Moses for 40 years. 40 years in the desert will do a lot to you. And one of those things is they forgot what food was at this point. They hadn't had anything but manna from heaven and quail. Fruits and vegetables, never heard of them, right? They have been without for 40 years. But they're nearly there. They're almost to that point. They're on the threshold. They're almost to that land that is promised, the land flowing with milk and honey. And Moses says, when you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and by the way, I'm not going with you, I'm going to die right before entering the promised land. I'll die right on the threshold, acting as steward till I'll get you there, but never stepping foot myself on this promised land, never getting to fully embrace the promise that you all will experience. Moses will die right there on Mount Nebo, never actually making it to the promised land, overlooking and seeing it with his eyes, but never seeing it himself. Talk about hashtag blessed right there. Well, Moses says to the people, when you get to this promised land, take the first fruits of your first harvest, take it to the temple of the Lord your God, and lift it up in gratitude, saying, a wandering Aramean was my father. He went down into Egypt, and he lived there as a resident alien. Then the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm and brought us to the place and gave us this land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first fruits of the ground that you have given me. Then you and the Levites and the resident aliens who reside with you, you shall celebrate together the great bounty that God gives you. Well, what is this all about? I want you to notice the pronouns used here in this passage. Sorry again for the linguistical nerd out, but there's a point here. Notice the pronouns. From he, they, a wandering Aramean was my father, he, to us, we. Now the Lord brings us out of Egypt so that I can bring the first fruit that God has given me so that you, the Levites, and the resident aliens can celebrate in this bounty. From they, to we, to me, to you. This is how we are to orient our service, our mission, our gratitude and generosity for the sake of the blessed and broken down. It should orient us in this fashion. From they, understanding our past and where we've come from, our heritage, that's the they, to the we, those today with privilege and power and resources so that we can do something about it. And then you, the poor, the meek and hungry, the persecuted, can be met where you are, offered a hand up, and a way forward and have a share in the physical blessings that we have all received. This passage from Deuteronomy helps us to understand more fully what gratitude and generosity and service is all about. It's about diving deeper and driving us deeper into relationship with our neighbor, especially those misunderstood blessed, as highlighted by Jesus this morning. If we're just dropping off food at the food shelf, that's all well and good, but how can we linger in that space, meet those people face to face, get to know them, and then be able to serve them more purposefully and more deeply? If we're just cutting a check, we're not showing up and getting our hands dirty. We could be doing a lot more for the sake of the kingdom of God, a lot more service, and in doing so, a lot more inviting in as well. If we see our giving and our serving as a they, we, me, you orientation, we can therefore flip our worldview to see those in need and be able to fulfill a need in those places, and thus create a more equitable and blessed society for all. That is what our stewardship campaign is all about. And I'll give another plug here. For those of you who haven't filled in and turned in your stewardship material, they're in the mail if you didn't receive them. We'll be taking them next Sunday. That's our commitment Sunday, March 16th. And our stewardship theme is all about this understanding of who we are. Our campaign this year was called God Lives in Us. And we understand that we as a church, if we love one another, then God lives in us and God's love is perfected in us. That comes from 1 John 4:12. And therefore we give to the church and we serve the church. We're called and equipped and empowered and strengthened from the meal at this table to go forth and then be the church out in the world for those people. Because the world needs the church. Because God lives in us. God's love is perfected in us and in our serving. And when we live and serve the church, we do so for the sake of those in need, for those blessed. And in doing so, we flip our orientation to the world so we can fully be what God has called us to be. Christ embodied, God living in us and through us, in our serving, in our living. So thanks be to God for this reminder from the Beatitudes on what being blessed truly means. And thanks be to God for this reminder of how we are to meet the needs of the world and respond in the only way we know how, which is in loving service as God has called us and equipped us. Amen.